If Jesus preached a sermon in our church, studies in the Sermon on the Mount, part 10, I find tonight's text really a fascinating text. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read 18 verses, which is a pretty long text to read, but it all ties in with the subject, honoring God with your secret life. Honoring God with your secret life. Matthew 6, 1 to 18. Jesus is the speaker. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. You say, I'd never do that. It's interesting that Jesus says it's something we have to be careful about. Beware. Like keep looking for this in your life. It's almost as though he anticipates we might have a bigger problem with this than we're just instantly aware of. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, pride grows in the human heart like lard on a pig. Isn't that a great saying? Pride grows in the human heart, yours and mine, like lard on a pig. So beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. You get blanked out. 2. Now the examples. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. First, he said, no reward from your Father. Then he said, you receive your reward. You get people going, wow, look at you. That's it. 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, so giving, now prayer. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Jesus is not saying there's something inherently wrong with public prayer in a family setting, a church setting. But when you do it just to be seen by men, that's what he's talking about. That they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. That's pretty blunt. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We say trespasses as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgiveness. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ouch. And when you fast, okay, giving, praying, fasting, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They love to disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Boy, what's wrong with you, Pastor Don? You look kind of worn out. Yes, well, praise God, I've just been missing meals, fasting. No, don't do that. Make sure you look just fine. You don't want others to know. You're not advertising. Do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. They actually put on a face. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. Dye your hair, put on your makeup, whatever. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. I tell you why I think this is a fascinating and a bit troubling text. I think we should be attentive when Jesus makes a list. This is Jesus. He makes a list of godly practices. There's nothing wrong with prayer. There's nothing wrong with fasting. There's nothing wrong with giving to the needy. He makes this list of godly practices that can be totally destroyed, robbed of any spiritual benefit, all the while we're doing them. Usually we think of not praying as being the problem, not giving as being the problem, not fasting as being the problem, not forgiving others as being the problem. And Jesus says that's only one problem. There's another set of problems that come while you're doing all those things. That's very different. Like, it's striking to me that the lecture isn't to the people not doing these things. The lecture, the sermon, is to people who are doing them all the time. Point number one. So in this passage, Jesus gives, I said, a map, for lack of a better term, to spiritual treasure. He actually, I think, tells us that transformation isn't found where a lot of us might think. And Jesus wants to keep us from looking in the wrong places. We can easily think that it's the pronounced, dramatic, outward events that are the transforming ones. And Jesus says it's not so. We can think that the demonstrative events are the ones to emphasize. And Jesus teaches that true disciples are rarely formed around big spiritual events. This is the abiding lesson on how to become like Jesus. I'm interested in that. I hope you are. Jesus is saying it rarely comes quickly, and it rarely happens in outward show. Rarely quickly, rarely an outward show. So I take that to mean two things. If I'm going to grow in Christian character, in Christ likeness, I need two things. I need patience, because it doesn't come quickly. And I need humility, because it doesn't depend on outward show. Patience and humility. Celebration and worship and service, all of which are very important, they can and do develop in more visible settings in the Christian life. But the disciplines that promote holiness and purity are usually formed out of the public eye. So Jesus applies this principle to, I don't think he means it to be an exhaustive list. I think what Jesus was doing was just giving some examples as he spoke. But he applies this patience and humility lesson. He applies it to giving in verses 2 to 4, praying in verse 6, fasting in 16 through 18. And the central idea in all of those cases is that religious people can quickly love the admiration that these disciplines can bring, and that this quickly destroys the motive and the fruitfulness of those disciplines. God, on the other hand, particularly rewards what is done for him anonymously. And so the power comes from what we do in secret. That's lesson one. Transforming power, there are acts of service. There are things to do in the Christian life. I'm not denying any of that. We need people to do lots of things in a church this size. What I'm saying is, the power for inner purity and holiness, the power that sustains all of the outward services and ministries in the church, doesn't come in public. That part comes from the nourishing of the heart in secret. Point number two. when you look for it, you'll recognize this is not some little side issue with Jesus. It's restated in other places. I was thinking of some of the parables. That Matthew 13, 31 to 33. And he told them another parable, the kingdom of heaven. Here's kingdom, kingdom growth, life in the kingdom. It's like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in the field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it's not going to go overnight, right? Patience, remember, patience. Yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. And then he doesn't let the subject go. Same subject, different picture. 33, he told them still another parable. This is a short one. Kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. So whether you're talking about the mustard seed, somebody plants it in the ground, a mustard seed. Once it's planted, you couldn't even find it. Mustard seed planted in the ground. Yeast that works through dough invisibly. If you want another one, the salt of the earth. You can't hear salt work. You can't hear a mustard seed grow. You can't see it instantly. You taste the presence of salt. You sense the difference that it makes. You experience it, but you really can't observe it visibly. So Jesus is saying, my life, your life, will only bear the imprint of his presence when we've paid the price of private devotion. This cannot just be worked up in a public meeting. There's a place for public meetings. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. All I'm saying is, there's another side underneath it that lays a foundation. Now, is there a contradiction in the teaching of Jesus when you look at point number three, Matthew 5, 16? In the same way, look at, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Don't stand on the street corner praying to be seen by people. Don't be stacking up long theological sentences trying to convince God when you pray. Don't pronounce a magnanimous heart when you forgive your brother. Don't make a big show when someone needs a bowl of soup and you give them a little bit of money. Don't do any of that stuff to be seen. And then all of a sudden, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And you feel like saying, so what is it? Which one? How do these words in Matthew 5, 16, how do they fit with Jesus' specific command not to practice our religion in front of crowds? Like, look at those words again in Matthew 6, 2 and 5. When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues, make a big show on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Don't do that. Let people see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I want to talk about two important distinctions that we need to notice when we look at these two sets of truths in balance. The motives are different in each case. The examples Jesus gives in Matthew 6, there's just the clear desire to be honored by men. That's a quote, verse 2, to be honored by men. Or 5, to be seen by men. 17, to show men they are fasting. So at the core of each case is this desire just to win the applause of the crowd. No one's thinking about God at all. It's just to win the approval of the crowd. The eye is to the crowd, impressing the crowd, receiving glory. That's the desire that fuels the deed. God's been pushed to the fringes. In Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. The glory goes to God himself. God is put at the center of attention. He's the one noticed, not the disciple at all. But that's just part of the distinction. There's a more important one that I want to delve into. It's under B. Is that in your notes? The acts of righteousness are different in each case. This is the important point, I think. So in all those examples listed in Matthew 6, that long text, 1 to 18, in all the examples, the deeds, hear this, the deeds are deeds of personal devotion that have been wrenched from their proper place and pushed into the spotlight. Devotional prayer. Fasting, helping someone in need, encouraging someone. There's no need for others to know I'm fasting. There's no need other than the feeding of my pride to see others giving my gifts generously to help others. There's no need for others to see me rhyming off my private devotions in front of the TV cameras. See, now in Matthew 5:16, the deeds that men notice are acts of Christ-like treatment of others. That's what's made so clear. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. They're lying. Well, rejoice. And be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets before you. So this is what people should see. Not my private prayer life, not my fasting, not my helping the person in need. Not that. That's private. Don't do it to be seen. What should people notice? Jonathan's an atheist. I'm a Christian. He's poking fun at me. He mocks me. He starts lying, saying bad things about me. What should people see? They should see me not striking back. Like they should notice it. See, it's a different kind of deed. It's a public thing. I'm slandered. I'm hurt. They're saying all sorts of evil things about me. And then they see me praying for him. Bless those that persecute you. They see me not striking back. Of course, they're going to notice that. And they're going to glorify my Father in heaven. So it's two kinds of deeds. The devotional deeds need to be kept in private. Don't let your ego stick them in front of people. The ministry, the relational things, people can't help but notice. They can't help but notice when you respond graciously, kindly, lovingly, with an intercessor's heart. So you have those two kinds of deeds. When people see that, God gets the glory. There's a strikingly different response from the proud retaliation of someone pushing for their rights. The world doesn't notice that anymore. Everybody does that. What should people notice about a disciple's religion? They should notice that he doesn't strike back. They should notice that he goes the second mile. They should notice that he's forgiving and doesn't strike back. There's no vengeance. Point number four. Good actions are spoiled by wrong motives. The striking point here, especially in that Matthew 6 where the private deeds of devotion get wrenched out of their proper context and performed for the approval of the crowd. When that happens, I learn that I don't have to do wrong to be wrong. Right actions. Prayer is a good thing. Fasting is a good thing. Generosity and compassion is a good thing. I don't have to do wrong to be wrong. Right actions become wrong if my heart is wrong in them. So this is Jesus doing the same thing here as he does in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's the pure in heart. Keep the devotional life strong. You cannot rise higher in ministry than is sustained by a private life before the Lord. Jesus traces everything back to the motive. He did it in the Sermon on the Mount. You don't murder, that's great. What about hatred? See, it's the heart. So it gives us all something to kind of search, doesn't it? In our prayer times, in our giving, and all the things we do for the Lord. That what grows above the surface is just coming from that seed that's been planted in the soil. And everyone said,